Good evening, everybody, and we welcome you to this first lecture being recorded for our online Apostolic School of Ministry. I and my team have conducted Apostolic Ministry schools in various parts of the world, and quite a number here in Rockhampton. They usually last a week, and people come. And the purpose of that is, and the purpose of this is to teach people, particularly ministers and leaders in the body of Christ, the purpose is to teach them how to think apostolically so as they can then minister apostolically. Very often these words are used, but people don't really have the thinking that's appropriate to what God is trying to bring about in the world and to the real nature of what it means to be apostolic. That's our biggest challenge, is to try and understand at a deeper level what the term apostolic really means. And we're going to define it in this course and try and give you some way of taking a handle on that. But anyway, the purpose of the Apostolic Ministry School is to help Christian leaders all over the world walk in this grace. It is a huge grace. And I thank God for it. He is beginning to do things completely differently to anything he's done for a long, long time in the church. And there's good reason for it all. And so by way of introduction tonight, this lecture is really background to all that will come. And it has to do with the spiritual foundations that we need in our thinking to understand the apostolic message proper. But here's where we begin in our thinking about it. A reformation is going on in the world of the church. And it is a complete reformation. It's not partial. It's not temporary. It's a complete reformation, and yet it's not distinct from the reformation that's been going on in the church for hundreds and hundreds of years. A reformation began, we normally think of 1517 as the year in which it began, and we think of those great men as the reformers of the church. But for me, the reformation never ceased, and for many people, and we'll understand why that is so. However, with respect to what is going on right now, this phase of Reformation, which we call the Apostolic Reformation of the Church, this phase of Reformation is going to take 100 years. Now, 100 years is not a specific number, it's a general figure. But we need to think in terms of the next 100 years bringing about a complete transformation of the Church, and that transformation will have in it certain features of which the Lord has already indicated this is the way it is going. I'm going to teach you what they are, but that reformation of the church involves the restoration of apostles, and it involves the restoration of apostolic authority. In this course, we will define apostles, both false and true, and we will also define the nature of apostolic Christianity. And we will also define what apostolic authority is and what it is not. That is, what authority apostles will have, which they do not yet have. It's only partially restored. We see the bare beginning. But the authority that will be established in apostles and what is not given, we will see. And all of these things we will see from the scriptures. Now, this particular reformation, which I say will take 100 years, you could say it's a multi-generational reformation of the church. It will take at least three generations to bring about all the changes that we are going to be discussing. But this particular reformation is totally consistent with the flow of all previous reformation in the church, in fact, all the works of God for 2,000 years. It's totally consistent. History is linear. God knows what he's doing. He is the Lord of history. And it's all planned with purpose. And so this apostolic reformation of which we are the beginning is not isolated from all that has gone before, but is actually an integral part of it. So these are important things to understand at the outset. Now, in this course, I will seek to define for you the nature of the change, and this will involve us examining some very specific things. I've written some books. I'll come to tell you about those in a moment, but we'll define the nature of the change. We will also define much of the detail that will take place and why it needs to be a certain way and not another way. In particular, we'll define apostles, as I've already said, but we're trying to get at something deeper, and we'll try and get a grip on it in the first two or three lectures. The deeper thing we're trying to get a grip on is, what does it actually mean to be apostolic? What is the meaning, the real meaning of the term? And if the church was to be an apostolic people, if the church was to have an apostolic nature, what does that actually mean? And it means something quite different to what we would have traditionally expected, and probably quite different to what a lot of people in the world who are using this new terminology are running with. But we're going to be careful to define it and to explain why biblically it must be defined in a certain way, but we'll come back to that later. In the process, we will be defining the word itself, or attempting to. The word apostolic is a unique word, and it's incomparable to anything else. It doesn't seem to have a partner that goes with it. And the real meaning of the term, the real weight of it, is something that has to be apprehended, and it needs to apprehend you. It was Arthur Katz who first used that terminology, as far as I know, with respect to it, but it's true. For example, the Nicene Creed, written a long time ago, which we all confess, says we believe in one universal, lost my flow here, one Catholic, universal, what's the other term? Holy, I've got as blank as could be, isn't that crazy? One Catholic, holy, apostolic church. The term Catholic meaning universal, but this statement was written after much consultation by huge numbers of Christian leaders, and they've come up with these defining terms. And it's not hard for us to understand what it means for the church to be one, what it means for the church to be universal, what it means for the church to be holy. Why did they include the term apostolic? And traditionally people would say, well, because Christ handed the gospel to apostles and trusted apostles, they carried the teaching of Christ, the revelation of Christ, interpreting Old Testament and writing the New, and apostolic doctrine, you know, we still attempt to try to be faithful to. It's come down to us. The church is built on the foundation of the apostles. People usually say those things and consider that to be adequate reason enough to refer to the church as apostolic. But in fact, it's not adequate reason enough. And yet it's something that you've got to dig deeper out of Scripture. And it takes prayer, it takes the help of the Holy Spirit to suddenly see a huge wealth of understanding and meaning that's attached to that word. And we will look at that. It's very important that we do apprehend the unique and incomparable power of this term. It's often used in modern practice, it's often used alongside the term prophetic. You hear of conferences that are apostolic and prophetic. Well, if it's referring to apostolic ministry or teaching about apostles or teaching by apostles, then it can be a comparable term with prophetic. But notice the fathers didn't say we believe in one holy, Catholic, apostolic and prophetic church. No, it has a unique meaning. And it's that meaning that we're seeking to understand, a word that stands alone and nothing compares to it. I need to explain also that this course is not academic but apostolic, and there is a difference. A lot of courses are designed academically, and there's nothing wrong with that. It is very, very good, and we extol the virtues of that. In fact, good academic practice is not contrary to apostolic teaching, and apostolic teaching goes hand in hand with proper academic learning. We believe in higher learning, and many of the key figures in the Bible were highly, highly educated men. Moses and Daniel are prime Old Testament examples. Paul, outstanding New Testament example. There are many others. Daniel, for example, and the three Hebrew associates of his that were thrown in the fiery furnace, all were trained in the literature, the highest education available in Babylon, the literature and all the learning, all the wisdom of the Chaldeans. And not only were they trained in it, they excelled in it above the others. And so it's a very important place. We encourage all of our young people to seek the best education they possibly can, to excel in study. There's a hugely, hugely important place in Christianity for understanding the original languages, understanding the documents and all the history of the church, all the background, and proper research and comparing scripture to scripture. It needs to be exhaustive. It needs to be extensive. We need all the scholarship and the study and the research that we can obtain for ourselves. But as important as all that is, and as much as we need more of it, alone it does not suffice. That is, it cannot stand alone either to lead or to instruct the church. It is never sufficient, even though highly valuable. There is another component altogether that must be added in for the sake of the church, or the church can't effectively be the church. That's what the Bible calls the apostles' doctrine, or the apostles' teaching in a more modern translation. Now, of course, it began with the original apostles and is laid down in Holy Scripture, but academic learning alone does not bring out the meaning of Scripture. We need something else. And what we need is the input of the Holy Spirit. Scripture says very plainly that every Christian has an anointing, and that the purpose of this anointing is to teach you. We need light that comes from divine input. It can't just be our own ability, our own learning, or what other people tell us. There is a daily place for walking with God for every one of us. There's a daily place for sitting with the scriptures and prayer. And in that process, we understand things we never understood before. We see things. This is a normal Christian process. And it's meant to be going on in us all. At the same time, God raises leaders in the body of Christ who are then greatly gifted by the Holy Spirit to open up the scriptures. And that this is not something that's empowered by academic learning alone, but by the grace of God. And I have to say to you that this course is based on that kind of thing. From when I was first converted, the Lord personally began to teach me. In fact, it was my prayer every night, without knowing it was an important prayer. Every night I was praying, Lord, give me understanding. And open my mind to understand, open my eyes to see, give me wisdom, teach me the scriptures. And it's amazing what happened as a result of that daily prayer. That gift for understanding the scriptures just grew and grew. And it was something that was on the inside of me. There was something on the inside that could tell when something was right and something was wrong. And it was very helpful, of course. I discovered then, once I was baptized in the Holy Spirit some years later, the Holy Spirit personally took me in hand and taught me many important things, like how to pray so as to get my prayers answered. He taught me how to believe God, how to walk in authority. And this was him personally teaching me. And at times, of course, you'd come across things in books that, you'd see it, but then the Holy Spirit would open it up. That's a very important work that must go on in all of us. But when it came to understanding the apostolic or the apostolic message, I was a person who had none of this. I did not believe in apostles, didn't know they existed, as most of us didn't. But in the year 1989, the Lord began to direct me to this and open it up. And I can only describe it as a sovereign work of God. And that is by revelation, piece by piece by piece, he gave me information that I never got from books and that I learned from no man. And I ended up with a huge body of knowledge that I lectured all over the world. I traveled for many years, more than 25 years now, traveling, teaching these things. I mean, I've written 4 textbooks out of all of this, and the reason for that was that, let me be honest, I had many experiences of Christ along the way, but there was a day in 1997 when Christ appeared and commissioned me to take this message to the nations. And it was from that time, I'd been going out preaching it anyway previously, but it was from that time when I went out, it just exploded all the more. And it got so large, it had to be written in books. It was too large now to lecture anywhere. But nevertheless, I had lectured it all over the world and with many different groups of pastors. So it was tested and proven in experience. And yet all this knowledge or this understanding of apostolic grace and of the Reformation that's coming to the church and what apostolic life really means, this was given to me piece by piece by the Holy Spirit. He would say things to me while I was asleep or just while I was reading the scriptures or just while I was staring into space. And in every case, I would have to go and search the scriptures because I have always lived as the kind of person that if it wasn't in the Bible, it wasn't true. It's the way I was wired from the very beginning and have always taught from a basis of what does the scripture say and then you explain it. And with all of these things that I was getting glimpses of or hearing the Lord say, I would go and search it out in scripture and find that the little thing he told me opened up to be a really big thing. And it was actually a wonderful way of understanding the Word of God. And so it enlarges the scripture, it clarifies the scripture, but it is totally Bible from beginning to end. And so what you're going to get in this course is the unfolding of apostolic teaching, the apostles' doctrine, which has been inspired in me directly by the Holy Spirit, but totally and thoroughly confirmed in scripture. And you'll find in the reading of my books, there's not a statement made, there's not an assertion anywhere that isn't then related to scripture and all of it cross-referenced. Let me introduce the books. This is the first book I wrote called The Apostolic Revelation. I wrote the book in the year 2002, but it was the result of 13 years of this unfolding information from the Lord and then going out and teaching it, preaching it in public, teaching it all over the world, all through Asia, parts of Europe, parts of Africa, into America too, as well as around Australia, and finding a wonderful level of acceptance of both of the grace I'd been given and the information that I was sharing all over the world. So that was the first book, the result of 13 years of searching the mind of the Spirit. And a lot in this course comes from this book. We won't be going slavishly through the book, but there will be many things in the book that I will draw to your attention, and you will need the book, and it's very good if you have already read the book, but if not, we'll get you through it. The second book I wrote, while I was writing this book, the Lord said, this is the first level of revelation, after this will come a second and then a third. And I went for 18 months, having written the book and continuing to preach it, and thinking to myself, where's this second level of revelation? But it was 18 months before I realized that one very important idea in this book had grown and grown and grown in that 18 months. And it was the importance of personal relationships in leadership, what we call father-son relationship in the ministry. How that works as far as God being a father-son God is concerned, how it's meant to work in us. And eventually, well, what really grew was a message we called the Spirit of Sonship, and eventually that's what I called this book when I wrote it. That's the second book in this series of four, and this also is a book absolutely crucial to this course, but most of its component parts will come up later in the course and in second and third modules of this online course. The third book I wrote goes hand in hand with the Spirit of Sonship, and it's called Building an Apostolic People. And it is tremendous light on just how any given local church can be a people of one heart and one mind. Depending on, it's drawn from the same grace that operates in the Spirit of Sonship, the same grace which at its core is actually apostolic grace. And then more recently, I wrote this fourth book called The City Gate. And this is an examination, an initial examination of the whole concept of city eldership. But we'll explain the importance of that later. But this book is obtaining a great deal of interest and response from people.